Okay, welcome back.
Thank you.
Good start.
You brought someone with you.
Yeah, well, the host that you brought back a present for us.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
So what have we established? We have established that somebody who lights a fire, call him Reuven, and Shimon adds to that fire, but does not change the result. The result would have been there, and at the end of the day, that same fire would have damaged the same item, even without adding anything to that fire. But he added to the fire, and then that fire damaged. Who's chayav? So we get, the Gemara says, according to the Rishonim, most of the Rishonim, that the first person who lit the fire is chayav, the second one does not have to. Then we clear the shayla. What happens if the first person is a child under the age? If the child under the age wrote the fire and then somebody else added to it, so physically, him adding to that fire didn't change the result. But the first one who lit it was somebody under the age who doesn't have really responsibility. Okay? We're looking after it. So he said last week, it's a machlokes of Shema Zalman Ubach and the Chasanish. According to Shema Zalman Ubach, will come out. The second one would be chayav in that case, because who's supposed to look after this fire? The first guy? The first guy is a cotton, he doesn't look after it. Must be the second guy. But Chasanish concluded, and we brought a bombaraya from Tosis, that the Chasanish is correct. It says that, according to Chasanish, it doesn't make a difference. Doesn't matter, the first one is overage, underage, the second one is always off the hook, because we look at, did he do anything? No, it's like he did nothing.
That would be the same thing if it happened by itself, a wind came and started.
Yes, because that, very good, that was the rye we brought from Tosis. That's what Tosis was talking about. You add to a fire which the wind created, you're off the hook. That is the rye for the cousins. So now, we're saying that the lock of the second one is off the hook, even if the first one's a cousin. But, so in our case, go back to the case we discussed last week. The kids lit a madur for Lag BaOmer and came along, an adult, and added that fire, and that fire spread and damaged and ruined the lampposts and cars and got out of control. But him adding to that fire didn't change the result, so the conclusion was he was off the hook. So now we're asking, okay, the child who lit, the children who are under age who lit the fire, what's their responsibility? Do they have any responsibility? As being children under age, does that mean they have no responsibility, or they still have responsibility? So let's talk about the Shiloh. Shiloh came to our love. Talking about children. So we'll talk about Shiloh's all this week. Some came to Rabbanim, some came to Botan Dinim, all about children involved in damage, and what's the halachas. So the first shayla is like this. A boy is walking around the street, he's a bit bored, so he picks up the stone, and he tries to throw the stone to knock off a bottle on the wall. That's his game. He misses the bottle, and it smashes a window of a car. Now, is he responsible to pay? Well, it's under bar mitzvah. So what is his responsibility? What's the status? Is anyone responsible over there? Or is totally off the hook? Yeah. So let's look at the Mishnah. The first Maramokim pay Zion of Mitz Aleph, brought down the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Sadi Vov, Siv Gimel. Cheresh Shota V'Kotten. Pigia Simra. If they pogay on you, they damage you up, bad luck. Achovah Behem Chayiv, because if you damage them, you're Chayiv. Behem Shachovah Behem V'Tum, but if they damage you, they're off the hook. Ha'eved V'Isha Pigia Simra. You're not only children, but even a slave and a married woman is also bad luck. You damage them. A married woman, you damage, you have to pay. Also, they, a married woman who damages another person, they off the hook. Abu Mishalim the Achazman, but they have to pay later on. When Niskashe Isha Nishtacha Evet Chayim Mishalim. In a case where the Evet gets set free, or the woman gets divorced, in those circumstances, then they will have to pay. Now, what's implicit by this Mishnah in respect to the children? Do the children ever have a chiyuv to pay or not?
No.
Not even when they become adults.
Not even when they have a golo. Very good, that's the dick. When do we say that it's temporarily off the hook and later you have to pay? That's by the married woman case. But the implicit is in the first case, the ratio of the Mishnah, you're off the hook for the children, after all circumstances, even when they get bigger and older and capable of looking after themselves at that stage and have their own money, they're still off the hook. Okay. The problem is, there's a Gemara in Baba Kama later on, in Sadi Ches on the base. It says like this. Habi Uvta. There was a case where Rashi explains this case as being Rav Ashi when he was an underage child, underage, as he was a child, and he damaged. The Kofi Rav from the Rav Ashi, and Rav Ram forced Rav Ashi. But Akbabay Kashur the summer, he forced him to pay for the damage he caused. What's going on? Rashi explains the Gemara later on that when Rav Ashi damaged under the age, he was forced to pay. How does that fit with the Mishnah? We should just let.
What was the case for?
He damaged something.
What's Kishur Latama?
That's the type of Kishur Latama. That's the type of Radbeik Ki Kishur Latama. Because it's Kishur Latama.
So this was damage that Rav Ashi caused when he was a Kohen.
Yes, that's how Rashi learned.
And this is now when he's got the
Kama here. I'll read out Rashi to you.
The Kama.
The Kama. And you
can also say. Maybe when we said that we were dying, that only the married woman and the Eved have to pay later, is because we assume that the parents of the Katan, or someone who's right for them, will step in. But maybe Rav Ashi is a case where there was no parent or no one that stepped in. So in that case, in Rami, once he's an adult, he'd be chayv.
So what's Peturim?
Pater means he's Pater.
But
his parents or the Achrai will be chayv. but if they don't do their job, then in Rami, after Zlachar Zman, then he would have to pay.
Yes.
Where
from was
just
doing
it
out of
kinnah? You can force child which is not your child.
Yeah, we bad.
So Rashi says, "So Sorif, what did he do? Sorif stach avera biyaladuso." Rav Ashi, when he was underage, he took hold of a document of debt of somebody's and burnt it up. He burnt it up. And what does it mean, Kukushura Labai's Surah? It means he forced him to pay the whole value of the document of debt. That's how Rashi learns the case. The Rabban forced Rav Ashi to pay for the whole value of the document of debt which he burnt when he was underage.
Just back to the first Mishnah. We know that a person is responsible if his animal causes death.
Yes.
Right? So you think that
the child doesn't belong to kids or animals.
No,
it doesn't belong to you.
Or an Evet certainly does.
An Evet, yes.
So we're not talking about an Evet here. Chayrish Shots of a Kotzer.
Yeah, the biggest case, yeah.
The second one is that.
But you would think that if a person is responsible for his animal, it should be responsible for his children.
Why?
Because he's even giving them peanuts. I mean, he has more control over a child than he has over an animal.
Well, what's halachic the reasons why should he pay for it? Right.
There's halachic reasons on why he should pay for an animal.
Yes, because it's his money.
Yeah.
So his money damage.
His Kaylee, so to speak.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
So the child is not.
That's Kaylee, yeah. Okay. So we got Stira. Does a child have to pay or not? The Mishnah says clearly that the child does not have to pay. And we've got a case where Rav Ashi damaged by burning some of these documents of debt up and he had to pay. What's the difference?
When Rav Ashi was forced to pay, he was a gadol at that point?
He was forced to pay? It doesn't say.
It doesn't say
he was a gadol or not. A child that damages. So, the Taz and the Vilna Gaon brought down in the Mishnah Berurah a halacha, learn out here a halacha. That when a child damages, if you look at Maramoka number 3, calls them Medina. That when does the Mishnah in Pei Zion Omer Lam says it's potter, that's Me'ik Adin Ben Odom, that B'nei Odom. B'nei Odom, a child that damages is potter even when he gets older. Aber lifnim Meshus Adin, Ben Shechobo Bo Begufa, or Shehizik Lo Bo Mamona, Tzok L'Shalim Lo, he has to pay, B'dei Shemayim he has to pay, B'dei Shemayim has to pay, B'dei Otam he does not have to pay, that's the Mishnah in Beis Zayin Amud Aleph, but the Gemara by Rav Ashi, where Rav Ashi was forced to pay even though he was a child, is talking about B'dei Shemayim he had to pay.
What is Rav Firm's relationship to Rav Ashi?
No relationship.
Not at all.
No. He was the Dai of the Rav. Yeah? So, halacha comes out that the child is not off the hook. B'dei Shemayim, he has to pay.
Well, the thing is sure, I said, did not B'dei Shemayim.
B'dei Shemayim, Sorach Mishalim. You go to look at the last line, words. And if you look in the Gor, where it comes from, and the Chai Odom and the Taz, they say the Chiv is a B'dei Shemayim Chiv.
Why, if he's patur from every mitzvah, why is all of a sudden he chayav for damage?
B'dei Shemayim has to be when? Okay. Very good question. So everyone's asking good questions. What was your question? It was a good one. Forgotten.
It's patur from all the mitzvahs.
Yes, what do you say? Yes, similar to Yemis. But the mitzvah, why is he chayav b'dei Shemayim? What's this mitzvah? This b'dei Odom is off the hook because it's under the mitzvah. So why b'dei Shemayim is fine? That's it. But the mitzvah, that's what the paskins, and later on.
What do you mean?
No. Have to b'dei Shemayim, otherwise there's a tzaviyah in Shemayim.
Like,
we say in the Gemara, that somebody damages somebody with groma, we can't force you to pay. But b'dei Shemayim you're chayav. B'dei Shemayim you're chayav to pay.
What's the limit if the kid's 2 years old?
What?
If you're saying chayav b'dei Shemayim, though, it doesn't answer the stira.
Why?
Because you still can't force him.
Why can he force him? Because then you can come up with the chiyuv of chinuch in such a thing.
So you don't even chayav if you do chinuch.
No, if there's no chiyuv at all, what's the chinuch?
If your kid goes and rips up the other kid's toy, you're not going to force him to pay him back for the toy out chinuch?
The whole value of the star chinuch, I can say, you know, say sorry, write a paycheck, do something, work a bit, chinuch, you know, you feel bad. But to pay the whole value of the item you damaged, that can only be not just because we've
said that. Depends how many times he did this before.
Okay. So let's move, therefore, based on what we said. The child in the street, in our case, who threw the stone and missed the bottle and smashed somebody's car window, what's the halacha? What's the status of his din? Chayav b'dei Shemayim. Yeah. Similarly with the bonfire we asked last week. They lit the bonfire, got out of control. Even though somebody added, that adding did nothing, the first people, the children, are going to be chayav b'dei Shemayim.
Wait a minute, if Rafim is only the dying, what's his chiyuv of chinuch?
That's the chiyuv of Beis Din to do chinuch. If the parents are not doing chinuch, Beis Din have to do it.
Yeah. Is the chiyuv of the Shemayim also for Reb Mazik for Shogeg?
It's sometimes if it's called the Mesut, yes. Here he did it with Mesut.
I thought he broke the
carved the Mesut, yeah.
No, here he burned the star.
No, I'm saying our case.
Yeah, it's called the Mesut. Yeah. Okay, so now let's move on to the next case. Came to base in this case. You have a little toddler, about 3.5, maybe, and he's walking around the park, and one of the children is looking after them, and the person looking after him is schmoozing and doesn't see what the toddler's doing. The toddler goes, and he goes up to a parked car. He opens the door of the car. He climbs in. He releases the handbrake.
Cool. 3 years old?
Yep. Over 3.5.
He starts racing.
And the car is on a slight slump, so the car now starts going down the hill, picks up a bit of speed, and smashes into somebody else's car.
So he put it into drive also?
No, just took off the handbrake.
It was already a drive?
Handbrake.
It's on a hill.
Just rolled down the hill.
But it wasn't in park?
Doesn't help if it's
on a hill.
Now in Basin, the owners of the car is making a claim against the mishpacha of this toddler, calling Reuven the toddler and his mishpacha. So what is the status over here? Do we say the same thing over here? That the toddler damage is high b'di shemayim. B'di shemayim means he has to pay for the whole value of the damage b'di shemayim. Do we say that over here?
Who was the shomer?
One of the kids of the family.
Another kid.
Why not?
What?
Why not?
Okay, why not? So let's move forward. So, the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Mem Gimel says like this: the cotton shehikah es oviv, or ovah shah veris b'katnusim. A child who damages his parents or damages avah veris, avah bish ein sof tshuva k'sheyigdal, even though he does not need tshuva when he gets older, mikol mokom tov lo shekibul atzer eis adob b'tshuva l'kapar. Nevertheless, it's good for him to recover himself some sort of tikkun kavara. Avi shor ovah kodesh shenaser ba'onshim, even though he did it before he became al onshim. And this is a remark quoting a Chumas Adeshim. Says the Shus Yaakov, which is Marmok number 5, he learned from here, and also Moshe Feinstein also learned from this Chumas Adeshim. Afnir Afnok says Shemaim Ein Min Asorach L'Shalem. We see that a child who damages from this Chumas Adeshim is not even Chayv to pay B'di Shemaim. Okay. V'chein Mashmas Loshem Ramah. That's the Ramah we just did. Barachaim, Shekosov, Shekibul, Ezadova, the Tshuva. He doesn't have to pay the whole fee. He should, his potter, even with his shaman, he should do something, something small for Tshuva. Akena, Mochulo, Achzara, Yafis, Mati, Yafis. Therefore, the one who was damaged by this child should accept the appeasement that the child is doing and be Mochul him. But he doesn't have to pay him, even with his shaman.
Hika, I don't see the Hika. Talking about a monetary damage.
Small room, you only have a small crowd, don't yell.
This is a base thing, we have to yell.
Okay. Now, so if it is Shemayim, we don't have to pay.
It doesn't seem to be tshuva on a monetary damage. It seems to be, it doesn't say he's got a nezik. He hit
this
somebody.
Is the case of mazik. This is the cut that he's mazik, and he's saying he has to ezadova. He has to become an ezadova to tshuva.
No, he doesn't even have. He doesn't even say tshuva. He says just tov shiyakav.
Yes, tov.
There's no. He doesn't have to.
Doesn't have to correct.
No tzarich.
It's tov. Tov.
Much less.
Yes.
Than,
yes. So Ramosha Feinstein says from here that the tshuva sedeshim and the Shus Yaakov over here are arguing on this Taz in Mishnah Berurah and the Vilna Gaon, who says you're Chayv B'di Shemayim. They are holding that a child who damages does not have to pay even Bidishamayim. They're arguing.
Well, because there's two different things here. One is what you did a Maisa Aveira that requires tshuva.
Fine.
And second is, do you have a chiyuv of monetary fees?
It comes from a tshuva session. You look in the tshuva session, and tshuva session talking about even when it damages. Even when it damages, an outright machlokus. It's not a machlokus, it's a machlokus. How they're going to learn Ravashi? Now we've lost our teretz. How are they going to learn Ravashi? We said the teretz is that Bidishamayim, that's why Ravashi was forced to pay. Now they say even Bidishamayim you're forced to, so why does Ravashi have to pay?
What is the point of the Gemara bringing down that Maisa Ravashi? What is it coming to prove for now?
The five to pay for burning somebody's stuff.
That's what it is.
Yes. But force. You don't have to force somebody from Midrash Chasidus to pay the whole value.
Grain in him when he gets older, be responsible.
So the answer is Rav Rishonim arguing Rashi, and they say it's not when Rav Ashi damaged when he was a kotzer. It's talking about when Rav Ashi damaged when he was a gotzer. How can Rav Ashi damage when he's a gotzer? He's a chosheb person. He damaged the showcake, and he thought that he's off the hook for damaging the showcake. And Rafa said, no, you think you're off the hook, damaging the showcake. Ozama Mazik is chayav even the showcake. And that's why Rafa damaged him. So different the shot altogether. Yes. Therefore, they learn the Gemara, the Rafa forced him to pay because he's chayav ikkutim. Not because of it. Yeah, but they also. And there's no right from there, therefore halacha, according to them, a child is not even chayiv b'dei shamayim. So therefore, let's now go back to our two cases. If it's a machlokas, whether you're chayiv b'dei shamayim, or just a good thing to do, what should be the halacha? That we can be forced a child b'dei shamayim to pay or not?
Should be no. Should be no.
Yeah, should be no. You can say Kimli that, right, that he's off the hook.
Particularly since the Mitzvah Chinuch is only the Rabbanan. It's a Savi the Rabbanan. It's a Chinuch is only the
Rabbanan. Yeah, but you're saying, am I Mechuv to pay? Can you force me? Machlokas? You can't force me if it's a Machlokas. But this Tov Lo Shekiva Eza Dover the Tshuva. Based on that, based on the fact there's a machlokus in Halacha, they say that you're mechuv to pay enough to mefayis. Yeah, you're not mechuv to pay me'ika adin b'dei shamayim, but we should force you to do the tikkun that you're supposed to do, which is appease the other person. Do something to appease the other person.
You're not supposed to do it. It's nice if you do it.
No, we're holding that you should do it.
He doesn't say that.
Yeah.
He says ain't for it. That means you don't have to perform.
But
yeah,
there's a tzvi against you.
Okay.
Since there's a tzvi against you, we don't want children to have tzvias. Therefore, we more than encourage them to pay for the damage. Now, who has to pay?
But wait, even if you're mechayvim, you're not mechayvim until they grow up.
So who has to pay? Now, if we're saying the first, according to the Taz, the Mishnah Berurah, the child has to pay b'dei shamayim, the whole thing. According to Shmuel Yaakov, we're saying we force them to pay enough to appease the other side, a child with damages. So who's paying? Do we say the child pays and just we wait until he gets his money? Or we force the parents to pay that duty of the child at this stage? Is the father mechuyev to pay for the chiyuvim of the child?
That's certainly not much chinuch. The whole reason the child should pay is because of chinuch. That's not much of a chinuch for the father to pay.
It's not chinuch. One is b'dei shemayim. The other one is he needs a tikkun. Yes? Not because of chinuch.
He said, how can you mechayev somebody who's only b'dei shemayim? So if you're going to mechayev b'tzad chinuch, and we said that even the beis din has an inyan of chinuch.
Yeah, that's the beis din of chinuch.
Okay,
so we take him to Beis Din and we tell him when he's a gadol that is bidei shemaim duty upon you. This go ahead and do we have anything to do with the parents over here? Yeah, that's Moshe Rodanu. That means Moshe's up to now. It's your problem. Up to now, it's your problem.
But even this whole thing, the whole concept of kingly is only by a din of mominus.
Yes, this is a din of mominus.
Yeah, but this, but over here, chai bidei shamayim is a, you know, that's copy bested. If this has a suffix, a person has a suffix, or this chai bidei shamayim, I don't know if he could say it's kingly to the shita. You know, if he's maybe it's a suffix midiraisa. It's a suffix whether it's chai bidei shamayim midiraisa.
What's chai bidei shamayim by mominus? That means you've got chiv mominus to give him bidei shamayim. Not just you've done some avera and it's a sophic issa or not. It's not a sophic issa. It's not a sophic issa. It's a sophic moment. A sophic moment you don't have to pay.
That's a din of basic.
No. Kimli is a sophic moksim of chayva.
Kimli to himself?
Yes. He says, according to what it says, bidei shamayim you have to pay. According to the other, it says it don't. So am I mechuyev to give money out according to you? Kodesh Baruch are judging me. You're the Beis Din. Kodesh Baruch.
So therefore, Kimli.
No.
I want
to
be Yotzi
B'Dei Shemayim. You are Yotzi. According to the Kralim, I'm Yotzi B'Dei Shemayim. So, the Chinush of the Dayonim, all the Dayonim say this, and it's brought down in the safe, one of the safest Machni Yisrael, also one of the Chosh of Derai, says like this. We look at number six. In Nehme Shalkotzen Ba'atzo L'ach Shigidu Yesh Lov Chiev L'Shalim, Masha Hizik, the all cotton, the Uda cotton. If you say that a cotton himself, when he grows up, has some sort of chiyuv to pay when he grows up, no longer a cotton, Mistama Yishuch Mizeh. Mistama, if you wait till then, he'll forget about it. Upolo Yigil is there, and in the end of the day, it won't happen. It won't happen that he pays. In came Min Haroya Sha'abib Obib Yishalim. Bravo. Asha. Therefore, min haroya, the parent to pay on his behalf. Why? So that is the nusach we say to these shiners. The child, we say, he should pay when he's older. But since he should pay when he's older, and things may happen, it's nochen, it's correct, you as the parent to pay on his behalf and take away any tzavias that he may have. You don't want to have tzavias, people having tzavias against your own child. Therefore, min haroya, that you should pay on their behalf and get rid of that claim against the child when he goes older.
What chiyuv does the parent have to pay for the child because maybe the child will forget?
Not chiyuv. Min haroya. You don't force the father.
What is the
not
reason?
No. Min haroya.
You your children.
Why? Why is it min haroya?
Because you want to have a child to
that's
have
my desire. That's what I do with min haroya.
Min haroya.
So where do they
it's
get
proper
it this
thing. It's they... a proper thing. You have to care about your
children. Who holds from this shita?
All the Dayanim.
No. Where, which of these people that we...
No, it's a, it's a swara from the Rabbanim.
Okay.
Yeah?
What about the Paris and the Shota? What about the Paris and the Shota? The Shota.
Yeah.
The Paris.
So now we get it. Is there for now, is there a difference between the two cases? Is there a difference between the two cases? With the first case, the child threw the stone at the bottle, missed the bottle, and smashed the window of the car. Second case, the toddler got into a car and released the handbrake, the car went down and smashed the other person's car. Yep. Is there a difference you see in the actual pesach we're giving, which at the moment we're saying is, child will have to pay something when he gets older? Min haruah, you as the parent should pay now. Is there a difference between the two cases in how we speak to the parents?
It depends on where the car was parked. If it was parked in a public place where you would expect somebody to lock the car, so the car owner was also contributed to the negligence. If it was in his driveway and the toddler climbed over the fence, then I would say no.
And what will happen if he was just in the street talking to somebody and the car was open and Tola got in behind his back?
No, then I would say you contribute to the negligence. Mm-hmm. If you have a car door open, you have to watch your car.
No, but by the rock is direct. It's a direct message. The brake is just—it's almost a grummer. You just create a situation where the car.
If an old grown-up did the same thing, take off the brake and went down in the car, that would be called
more direct. You have a child who does something direct.
First, he's intending to do nezik. It's just not. His aim is off. The second one is not even. There's no intention to do nezik.
Intending to break the window. He's aiming for the bottle.
No. He wanted to do nezik.
He didn't want to do nezik.
When you throw a rock hard at something, you know something.
Maybe it's his good.
So we're going to go back to what Shmuel said about a quarter of an hour ago, 10 minutes ago. And that is what you also said, Dan also said, is that there's difference from a child who damages when he's a toddler, when Bechlal he doesn't know what he's doing. And a child who damages where he has knows what he's doing, it's just he's underage.
B'chinat
halacha, they're underage, but there's a difference with klapi v'dei shemayim. And this is what Rav Moshe Feinstein says. When do we say that a child who damages should be chayav v'dei shemayim, or should do a tikkun for his deed? That's only when be'etzem he knows what he's doing. It's just he's underage. So we can't force him to pay. So b'dei shemayim is chayav. He has to do a tikkun some sort of tikkun. But a child who hasn't got any das at all, like a shoter, he's got the same level of shoter, he has no idea or clue what he's doing, and it damages, then there's not going to be any claim against him at all. So therefore, in the first case, when the child playing a game and he threw a rock and it smashed the window, therefore his negligence as a child, even in his child state, and therefore we're going to say, but the Adam can't do anything, but the Shammai, maybe your Chayv will definitely clear a ticket. You as a father, min haroy should pay on his behalf now, because things he'll forget by the time, or won't happen when he gets hurt. But a toddler who has no das at all, that doesn't know what he's doing, there's not going to be any clear v'dei shemayim on him. So when he released the handbrake and the car went down and damaged, then the statement will be different. There's no need for you to pay under any circumstances over here.
The parent is not responsible for negligence, knowing that toddlers are capable of causing damage.
Toddlers are, I can think that toddlers can do the same.
They can
knock after the child.
So isn't there a liability for that?
Is there liability not looking after a child? What type of liability?
If I don't look after you, am I liable?
Am I a child?
So what?
I'm not
responsible to look after my child. I have to be responsible.
So now let's...
Why am I responsible? No, I'm not.
You know, it's a purpose talking about this.
Him. But I don't have to take care of you because of him.
It's superfluous talking about it now, because we're about to tackle that shiloh now. Let's move on to our third case with the child. A very common shiloh. You go to the makolet. You're bringing your toddler with you into the makolet. And as you're going up and down the aisle, you leave him next to one of the places where you're shopping, and you go out searching for other things in the meantime. Well, he's in the buggy, yeah? But he's in the buggy, but he's close enough to stretch and pull things off. And that's what his little hand does, and he pulls off a jar, a big bottle of olive oil, and it smashes on the floor. Are there we going to say the same thing? Are we going to say the same statement that we just said over now?
No.
Well, it's a toddler, he doesn't know what he's doing, therefore it's not even chiyuv b'dei shemayim, so you as a parent don't have to worry about it because he's got no tzivus against
him. I'm not the parent. because it's Mishum Isho. I'm putting him in a position where he's probably going to cause damage. That's nothing to do with the parent-child relationship.
What happens if he's walking around while I'm in the shop and he pulls something off? The same thing?
Osherad was mochel.
Then I would say he's not chayav.
I asked at Osherad, they were mochel.
They were mochel. But what's the din without being mechila? According to what we're holding at the moment, is that you don't need the mechila. It's a toddler who's underage. Okay. Underage, the damages, there's no tzvi against him. So it's no tzvi against him. Me as a father only has to worry about tzvi against him. I don't have to worry about him. So we're going to discuss proof for this point. Okay, the child is totally not responsible. He doesn't know what he's doing. What about the parents? So the Rambam and the Gemara in Baba Kama, look at number 7, Daf Dalad Amud Aleph. The Rambam Hilchot Kadeva Perek Aleph Halacha Tes says like this. I'm going to read it, and I want you to tell me what I'm trying to get from this Rambam. Ha'eved Shogonas. Somebody's slave damages, steals, doesn't have to pay kefir. A baalev and his owners are also paturim. Why? She'ein otam chayev al niske avotam. A person is not chayev for the damages that his slave does. Afam fi she'ein mamono. Even although they're his monthly ownership, he owns them. Why is he released? Because they have intelligence. The slave has intelligence, and you're not able to look after them. Because if the Rebbe, if you say you're going to make him hire the master, then in a scenario where the Rebbe makes the Ebed angry, so now the slave wants to get back at his master, he goes and burns down something worth 1,000 dinarim, then the Ozan's going to be in a big trouble. He's going to be constantly having to pay for huge debts because of his slave, which he can't control. So therefore, even though it's his money, but since he can't control him, and we're worried, if he can't control him, he'll just take advantage of that effect. So we release the Otom from ever paying for the damage which his slave does. That's the statement of the Rambam. Now what do you think, as me and this Shia are trying to get out from that Rambam? What am I trying to conclude from that Rambam?
That if you are Yachol Shomron, then you are responsible? But it has to be Mamona.
No.
Take your toy kids.
Yeah. It seems to be, as the Achronim and Matayat from here, that the Rambam is saying that what makes you chayav to pay for damages of something which damages, even if it's not you, when it's not you that damages something else, but you're going to be chayav for that something item that damages, what makes you chayav? Not the fact that you own it monetary. That doesn't make you chayav. The fact that you can control this and you don't control it.
But I first have to establish
the fact that you can control it and you don't control it.
I can control you, I can tie you up, but I'm not chayav for your damages.
Now, what's the status of a father to his children? Has he got what? As what? That's emotionally, not physically. What's the status between the father and the son? What halachic relationship do we call the father in relationship to the son? Apotropos. What's an apotropos?
Guardian.
What does the word guardian mean?
A shomer.
So therefore, the father halachically is called the shomer of the child.
Right.
He's got a shomer of the child
against damage to him.
No.
Him
against no. As the Gemara Baba Kama says, an apotropos is chayiv. If he's an apotropos of children, he's machayiv to stop their animals from damaging. Yes.
To stop their animals. Yeah, not to stop them.
Apotropos means you're mechuyev to stop them getting damaged and from them damaging. That's what the state is like. You're shomer on them. If you're shomer on them, the Rambam is saying, whenever you're shomer and you don't do your shmira, then you're going to be chayv for the damage which you don't do. Yeah, but we thought to now owning animals chayv because you munch your own. If you munch your own children, you don't munch your own children. But if now we're saying that the chayv of your animal damaging is not because you munch your own them, it's because you're shomer on them. If you're shomer on them and you don't do shmira, then you're chayv. If that's the shot, then even a child, even though you don't munch your own them, but you're shomer on them, you don't shomer on them, and they damage, you're going to be chayv.
If you hire me as a bodyguard and you damage someone else because I'm your guardian, I'm chayv for your damages.
I've got a whole case about that story. Remind me when we get to Purim.
Purim.
That's when the case happens on Purim.
And is this damage always considered ones, or is this always considered ones, or is it in the category of
shogeg? Well, what do you mean by onus? Which case?
Child.
No, it's your chayv to look after. We're saying now is your chayv to look after it, and you don't, and it damages, then you're going to be held accountable.
But there will be cases of onus where you couldn't have stopped it.
Oh yes, if you can't stop it, then it's onus. Yeah.
Then you're not responsible.
Then you're not responsible. Yeah. Now, if you look at the Evan also, says he's got no right for me. Why? Eshelitkus. I can push this right away. To give the Torah ain't a cause of elisha, but called banachai. The Torah actually writes that your animal damages you have to pay. Yafin elisha. So if you're going to learn, you have to learn out from there that that's the source. It has to be similar to your animal to have to pay. Behind lamdim eved elisha. Therefore, we had a havamina to learn that you're just as you're chayiv when your animal damages, you're also going to be chayiv if your eved damages. And now what we're saying, the given she esher l'shamron, that since you're not able to look after that eved, that slave, ain limud eved l'shamron, don't learn out eved from shah, because it's not the same. Shah, animals you can look after. Eved, you can't look after, so don't learn it out. Esher l'shamron, mele gam heichad yochad l'shamron potter. Therefore, we can't learn out. If the Maskana of the Rambam and the Gemara is all it's saying is that since you can't look after your Eved, since you can't look after your slave, we're therefore not similar to an animal, and therefore we can't learn out just as your animal damages, so you also, your slave, you also damage, because they're not the same, because one you can look after, that one you can look after, so at the end of the day we can't learn out, then all it means is that you can't look after him, is the reason why it's not the same. But what's the reason why you're chayev? Why, if your animal damages, are you chayev? Because you didn't look after it, or is it because it's your money? Which one is it?
You weren't shomer.
Look at
why you have to. Why you have to be a shomer?
Why are you chayev if your animal damages?
Because it's your money.
According to this cheshvin,
I'm not chayev for your animal.
What's the cheshvin you're saying? Animal damages, your chayev. Let's say also slave damages your chayv. No, slave, we don't learn from animal, because slave you can't look after, animal you can look after. So therefore slave is not the same as animal. So, okay, it's not the same. So only animal is chayv. Why are you chayv for the animal? What? Because? Not because you can't look after it. Not because you should look after it. But because it's your money. We're only using that you can't look after it to say that they're not the same. No, that's the reason why you're potter. The reason why you're potter is because we don't learn out from slave. We don't learn slave out from animal, because they're not the same. But the reason why they animal, you are chayiv, is because it's your money. And therefore, that's why we thought that you should be saying you should be chayiv. Says the Gemara, but this is something which is not the same. It's not similar, totally. Why is it not similar? Because an eved you can't look after, an animal you can. So therefore, we can't learn it. It's not the same type of money. There's a money which you can look after, and there's a money which you can't look after. A money which you can look after, you're chayiv. Even when you don't look, even if you have a scenario you're not able to look at, you're still going to look at. So therefore, according to the Evan also, you're never going to be chayav on a child, even although you're a shomer. Because at the end of the day, the only reason why you're going to be chayiv is if it's your money. Is a child your money?
You can think of it as your money, because any money the child has is
that's
yours.
Not your money? That's not the definition of money. Money means
he's your property.
He's your property. He spends your property. He's not your property.
But anything he owns, you own.
Fine, but that's got nothing to do with ownership of that of the child.
That's actually not true. You can own his own things without your own.
So what's the halacha?
You are my receipts. Somebody gives him a gift, it's his. It's not mine.
So what's the halacha? We've got two ways to look. Are we saying that the chiyuv is because you are a shomer and you don't do your job properly? Or are we saying your chiyuv is because of it's your money, and whenever your money damages your chiyuv, nafka mina, a child you're supposed to look after, but it's not your money. Two ways to learn. So this question... Yes.
What do you mean?
Yes.
You'd better be potter, yeah.
We want to, yeah. We're talking about the parents. We read the finished talking about the child, talking about the parents.
What happens if you're looking after someone else's animal and you don't look after property that damages?
Then you're a shomer.
Then you're a shomer. Your chayiv is dinei shmirah. There's you've got there's also monetary ownership with a shomer. When we learn hilchos shomer, you're actually an owner as well. Yeah, you also have to do kinyonim to actually take certain ownership over the item in order to be considered a shomer. Yeah, there is ownership over that by shomer. So what's the big chiddush from the Chazanish? The Chazanish was asked this question. So what's the halacha? So he says like this. If you look at number 9, we're brought down in the Sefer of Maaseh Ish, all about the Chazanish. It says, Shoto Kotzim Pegiyas and Ra. Ain't not lying. The Mishnah says, Shoto Kotzim Pegiyas and Ra, they don't have to pay. Hem Shokhova Bachem Petum. They damage anyone else, they're off the hook. But Holach Avi, that's El Chazanish. My father went to ask this Shailas Chazanish about this child who damaged in the Makolet. Yeah. So therefore, so he's underage, he's even doesn't have any sense, he's off the hook, yeah? Shalom Anidanana, Bechriya, Gamkein Sha'im Chayevis. He said the Chazanish that the mother has to pay Me'ika Hadin.
But the mother doesn't have to pay Me'ika, she does the damage.
Mother has to pay Me'ika Hadin. In the case of Makolet. Why? That the Mishnah says that a child damages. You can't do anything. The child's off the hook. That the Mishnah says is talking about where the child goes and damages without the parents being there in the vicinity that aren't able to look after the child. But if the child is under the jurisdiction, the looking after of the parent, the Zurek Eben began, and he throws a stone that damages, or he pulls something off the shelf, then Hadin Hu Sha'orim Chayev. Then the din is that the parents themselves are Chayev Me'ika Hadin, because they are Shomrim on the child at that stage.
But how
and they're Shomrim on the child, and they don't do their Shemira, so they're going to be Chayev. From the fact that the chiyuv is not because you own them, it's because you're a shomer who don't do your job properly.
Who said they? She's chayuv, and only when she gets divorced does she.
Okay, she's.
Why didn't he say the father is chayuv?
Because he wasn't there. He wasn't there. The white mother, the one who's there.
The woman is never chayuv.
Woman's chayuv later.
If she gets divorced.
Yes, okay. That's what he says.
She's
chayuv be'etzim. She's chayuv to pay. Technicality, has she got money? Sometimes a lot of women have their own money and then they're chayuv straight away.
Oh, so that's what it means. So what is the Mishnah mean?
So therefore we can.
What does the Mishnah mean for Pigias and Rod?
Pigias and Rod says the chassid, this is when there's no one there is looking after the child. The child's best damages without any hashkach of the parents. So in conclusion today,
we're going to
finish off next week.
The fact that there's no hashkach of the parents itself is negligent.
Let me give the conclusion.
There should be hashkach of the parents then.
No, that's a grommet of the hashkach.
Why? Just that, like I shouldn't be letting them out of the house. I shouldn't be letting them out of the house.
No.
A 3.5-year-old goes out of my house and
the babysitter's over there. Yeah. So what we're saying over here in conclusion, child's three halachas. Remember this for next week. We're going to carry on next week and finish off the ketan. Three halachas we learned. A child who damages, like he's got certain dust, so like a 7-8 year old child. The halacha is, child, we can't force you to pay, but you're going to have to pay when you're older, either bidei shamayim, or you have to do some sort of tikkun. Therefore, min haroi as a parent to cover him. Who's going to know what's going to happen till that time? A child who has no dust at all is a toddler who damages. Emar lasot, parents is off the hook, child is off the hook. Not nothing to mechayev them because there's no chiyuv even bidei shamayim like when Moshe Feinstein says. A child who damages when he's in the jurisdiction of the parents at the time when the damage takes place, then says the Chazon Ish, since you are shom at the time and you are negligent in your shmirah, then you as a parent is chayv me'ika tim, and we can force you in basin to pay for the damage in such
what
a case.
So
therefore, in the case of the bottle and the fire, we say that the parents is off, is min haroi to pay. The child is going to have to pay when he's older something, and the min haroi to pay. In the case of the toddler with the break, there's no chiyuv at all. But the case with the toddler in the child in the makolet, where the parent is taking around the child with him as he's shopping, and the child damages when you're not looking, then the parent who's there is going to have to pay for that particular damage. Next week, we're going to talk about another case. And you're going to give me a homework to think about it in your head, about what you think the outcome will be of this. What's the case? Cases like this. Shabbos Chanukah, Mishpachat Reuven want to spend it with their family in Yerushalayim, with Mishpachat Shimon. So, but there's no room for them. So what do they do? They go and borrow an apartment. They go and borrow an apartment in Yerushalayim to be there. It's also the Bar Mitzvah Pasha. It's the Bar Mitzvah Pasha of one of the children of Reuven's children. He's Bar Mitzvah on that Shabbos. Having the Bar Mitzvah, all of the family together in Yerushalayim. So Reuven come, the Bar Mitzvah boy is there, and they're lighting Chanukah candles. They light the Chanukah candles, including the Bar Mitzvah boy. But they go out, and they go to the shul, and they come back, and the whole place is up on fire. After investigation, what was determined by the fire department that the fire was caused by the menorah which the Bar Mitzvah boy lit. And his bar mitzvah was on Shabbos. He lit it when he was a kotel. When did it damage? It damaged when he was a kotel. So what's the halakha in such a case? Have a very good Shabbos.
Was this a Maisa Shahoya?
Maisa Shahoya. This came to basic. This was a big...